Good morning. No. Good morning. That's better. Trust everybody got some rest last night. Because no sleeping during the day today. I could see you even if you are behind that column. Where, as I said yesterday, we are all grateful to the Lord for bringing us here together. And we really appreciate that you have decided to come to the Young People Conference at Spruce Lake. The Lord takes notes of that. And He rewards those who are devoted and dedicated for Him. If you ask any of us why this exercise about having a young people conference in here, it is really the desire of our hearts. It is really the desire of the Lord to see young men and young women solid for Christ. That they're present in this world caused Christ's name to be honored and glorified. That because of you, wherever the Lord have placed you, you are a shining light for Him. And that's not just a theoretical talk or just a nice something. That is really God's purpose for you. To make you like Christ before even He takes you to heaven. And for that, He had given us His word. I find it fascinating when a few months back in Iraq, we're talking about Chris going to the Middle East, those guys from ISIS start coming into the Iraqi bases, and all of a sudden, the Iraqi army ran away. Now, they have arms, tanks, armor vehicles. They dropped everything and run. It is not that they did not have the arms. It's not that they have sophisticated weapon. They just didn't know how to use it. Now, you could have a Bible. You could have three of them, leather-bound, Darby translation, Newberry translation, King James translation. You could have them all. But if you don't know how to use it, when the enemy comes, what are you going to do? And trust me, he's not far. He desires to take you and enslave you to him. He could not affect your eternal salvation. If you are saved, you're saved. And that is really the purpose we are here for this conference. This year is a little bit unique. It's a little bit different. We have topics that we felt very strongly, and I want to thank many of you who have approached us and talked to us about these things. Because trust me, they are real. And they are serious. And they have ruined people's life. And the Word of God, it is sufficient to answer man's question, no matter if it's a year 20 AD, 50 AD, or 2014. The word of God is sufficient. Sin is sin, Satan is Satan, the world is the world, and Christ Jesus is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So it is very important for us, as we look at these topics, to look at them from what the Word of God is saying, not what somebody is viewing these matters. Because I am sure you have heard many views about the topics that we are going to talk about. You have heard all kinds of stuff about them. I want you today, as we are going to address them, to pay attention, to listen to the verses that will be brought before you. This is your chance. You are not going to Google that stuff and find it out. It is in the Word of God. And you need to find the right perspective concerning the things of God. That is really the exercise. Usually we have Bible readings, which is one of the things that I treasure in my heart. The idea of sitting together, opening the Word of God, and discussing it together. And we will have that tomorrow. We will have Bible readings as we study the life of Joseph, some part of it, and as we study the life of Ruth. Because there are real people that lived in a real time, that have faced real circumstances, and they are recorded to us in the Word of God as an example to help us to know how to navigate in the world where we are living. So the format is going to be different on Saturday. As I said yesterday, I would appreciate, as you are listening and paying attention, that if something is not clear, please ask those questions. We're going to have question and answer. And the question and answer are not going to be recorded. They are not going to be recorded. We're going to be blunt. We're going to talk about things that you are facing. And we want to build you up. That's the whole idea. We want to be built you up, equipped you from the Word of God, that you will go out of here at school, at work, in the university, wherever you are, to show everybody that heaven is our home, that this world is not our home. And in between heaven and is our home and the world is not our home, soon the Master will come. That's what we are waiting for. That's what we have sung this morning. And I hope when we sing hymns, we really kind of like listen to what we are saying. Having said all of that, I want you all to stand up. We're going to open a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we give thee thanks for thy love, for thy care for thy sheep. Thou art the great shepherd of the sheep, Lord Jesus. And thou hast chosen us. And thou hast taken upon thyself to care for us, Lord Jesus, to protect, to guard, and to shield us until thou will bring us home safe. We thank thee for every young person here. And we pray, Lord Jesus, as thy word is open, that thou will open our hearts, our understanding. We desire that the Spirit of God will have liberty. And that thy word will have impact to the end, Lord Jesus, that our life will transform to thy very image. We commit ourselves to thee this morning. Amen. Amen. Please sit down. Now, if you fall asleep on me, I'm going to have you stand up again. So, I hope you have your Bible with you. I have about 20 minutes left. And I'm going to keep time this time. I'm going to stop at 20 minutes. So, I will give you time to ask questions. So, do you have your Bible with you? You have your notes, little program, if you don't have your notebook, and you have a pencil or a pen. And actually, as I would read scripture, I'm not going to read them, I'm going to ask you to read it. So please be awake and alert, because I'll call your name and ask you to get up and read. So be ready. Be on alert. I'll call you and ask you to read the scripture. The first one I want to read is in the one in our program. Where is the program? Where's my program? The first one I want to read is in the verses that are that is written in our program, and that is in 1 John chapter 2 from verse 15 to 17. And I would like David Decord, would you please stand up and read it for me?
1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. and the world passed away in the lust thereof. But he that doth the will of God abideth forever.
Thank you, Dee. I also would like to read another verse in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. And verse 31, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and verse 31. Ben Webb, would you please read it for me?
Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out.
Thank you. Our topic today, this morning, for the next few minutes, is the world. What is the world? We hear it, read, said, and people said, oh, it's the world. It's the influence of the world. It's the world around. What do we mean? When I ask you a question, what is that? What is the world for you? What does that mean? The best way when you study is to find out in the scripture, where is that word used and how it is used. It's the best way. Then you will find out how the most eloquent, capable writer ever, and that's the Spirit of God, have used the word, because he is very, very precise in the way he uses words to describe what do they mean. You all know that there are two Greek words that are translated world. One of them is Aion, I-A-O-N, which means, it's translated especially in Hebrews chapter 1, having made the worlds. It's the ages. It is actually what Einstein called it, time-space. Time-space, that is the ages. It is not only the physical world, it's not only the space, but the time, the determination of everything. He made that. That's one word. I'm going to ask a question in the end, so pay attention. The second one is cosmos. That's another Greek word. K-O-S-M-O-S. And it's not the soccer team that plays in New York. Cosmos means the world. And it is used in the scripture in three different ways. I have no time to read all of the verses, but it is used in three different ways. John especially, he uses the word world many, many times. More than anybody. He used it about 105 times, if I counted correctly. In the three synoptic gospels, in Mark, John, and Luke, it's used about 15 times. Matthew used them 7, and Mark and Luke used them 3 each. 15 times. But in the Gospel of John, I think Paul used them in his epistle about 47 times. It's a wonderful thing when you do that. I find it fascinating when I start looking at things and counting them. I find that stuff, not that stuff, that the Word of God is really, really wonderful. It's just really good to dig in it. What I find interesting sometimes is when I kind of sit and listening to young people talking, and they have all of these stats about everything, not only sports. They know everything. They just know everything. They could tell you stuff. When you come to the Word of God, man, they're dumb. They just don't know what to say anymore. They are like, I don't know. Why? We are like the Iraqi army. We have the most sophisticated weapon to face anybody, and we just don't know how to use it, so we kind of run away when the enemy comes. They come home with knives and sticks, and these people ran away. And they have to throw their uniform. They did everything. The Word of God. John in his gospel used it about 87 times. But it's used in a three different way. So when I talk about the world, sometimes it is used about the physical, the material things. Okay? Let me give you a verse for that. There are many verses, but let me give you a verse for that. Sometimes it's used for, let's go to the book of Acts. It's actually in John 1 verse 10, but let me go to the book of Acts. Chapter 17. And I think it's verse 24. Acts 17, I think it's verse 24, right? Yes, verse 24. David, would you please read me that verse?
Acts chapter 17, verse 24. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands.
So this verse here, the word world, is used as a material thing. God made that. If you go to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 10. Mike, would you please read me that verse? Mike DeCourt. Gospel of John chapter 1, thanks.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
The world was made by him, the material things. So, the cosmos sometimes speaks about the material things, the physical things. The earth, the heaven, the stars, the rivers, the mountains, the trees, the material things. Man, when we... The other use for it is really the inhabitation, the inhabitable earth, or the people that inhabit the earth. Can somebody tell me a verse that the word cosmos means people? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, people. Another verse, if I could find it, it's in John 12, verse 19. In John 12 and verse 19. Who has it? Peter, you have it?
The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him."
The world have gone after him. This is the word world used as people. He said, the Pharisees said, everybody's gone after him. The whole world gone after him. People. So it is used as the material things. It is used as people, the inhabitable world. But it's also used in a very unique way. And this time, it is this world. And that is the verse that we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 31. Let's read it one more time. John chapter 12 and verse 31. Brent, you want to read it for me?
John chapter 12, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out.
It's kind of unique. Just notice it. When it said this world, it doesn't mean the physical things. It doesn't mean the people. What does it mean? Sometimes the Lord said about the good who, or I think it was in James, who sees his brother need of the good of this world. This world, if we go back again to the Greek, the word cosmos in the classical Greek is used in a two different way. One way, it's a system or an arrangement that works in harmony. A system or an arrangement that works in harmony. That is the word cosmos. That's one use for it. The second use for it as a verb to mean adorning. So when the church coming as a bride adorn to her husband, that's where we get the word cosmetic from. Cosmetic surgery, cosmetic stuff that you ladies put on your faces. That's the word cosmetic. It is adorning. Adoring something. Make it beautiful. That's as a verb. But it's really an arrangement of things. So now we know what the world is. And when we read it in the scripture, we could differentiate when it speaks about people, when it speaks about physical things, and when it speaks about a system, an arrangement of things. When did the world start? I know when earth started, and I know when people started. But when did the world start? God created the heaven and earth. God created man in his own image. But that's not the world. But then all of a sudden, Satan always desires to have a kingdom, to have a place of authority, to have a place where he will be recognized, where he will have subjects. He said in his heart, I will lift myself up. I will be like the Most High. And when he saw what God had purpose, to have Adam and Eve living in happiness in the creation that God have created, he said, I am going to have them rebel just like I rebel against God, because sin is lawlessness. I want them, whatever God had in mind, I'm going to have the opposite of that. So what God have in mind for man? Happiness, I'll make him miserable. Health, I'll make him sick. Holy, I'll make him unholy. I'll defile him. Living, I'll give him death. That's what he was trying to do. And he came to Eve, and he started putting the doubt in her mind. Really, God? Did he really say that? You know, he was hiding something from you. You will be like him. He beguiled. He have done an act of work. And he beguiled her. And sin came in into this world. But how did sin display itself? It needs something. If I get somebody who is an accomplished piano player that we don't have this morning, and said to him, you are a piano player. Yeah. You really have that gift. Yeah. But he needs an avenue to display that gift, right? He needs something to display that. So how is sin that was introduced into this world is going to display that? Satan said, well, I'm going to have the playground for you. So if you are a good football player, you need a football and you need a team. So it's in you now, but you need to display that. So I'm going to make that world system of things. To the end, two purposes. Number one, that they will rebel against God. And number two, that they will subject themselves to me. This is a 40,000 feet view of what's going on around you. What's going on around you is there is a system that Satan have introduced into this world that is opposing to God. And that system has characters to it. Let me give you some of the characters of it. Let's go to, and I have 4 minutes. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I need some quick readers here. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Mark, piano back there.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Yes. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God.
Okay, enough there. The spirit of the world. That world system have a spirit. Spirit of America, right? You know what I mean when I say that. The spirit of the world. It has a spirit. One more thing. Let's go to chapter 3 and verse 19. Chapter 3 and verse 19. I'm going to read it. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. That world does not only have a spirit, but have a wisdom. That is the world. That is a system of thing. You see, it has a spirit. It's almost like it's a living thing. But also it has a way of thinking and applying that. And that is the wisdom of this world. Let's go to chapter 7 and verse 31. First Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 31. And they that use this world are not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. Remember, it's this world. It's the system. Now that not only have a spirit and a wisdom, but has a fashion. The fashion of this world. Let's go to Titus, the verse that Brother John mentioned yesterday in Titus chapter 2. And verse 12. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, the spirit of the world, the fashion of the world, the wisdom of the world, the lust of the world. Let's go to 1 Peter, just for a couple of more. There is more. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us the exceeding great and precious promises, that they might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in that is in that world. Corruption of the world. Wisdom, fashion, spirit, corruption of that world. And if you go to chapter 2 and verse 20. 2 Peter 2 verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The pollution of the world. Isn't that things that we hear about all the time? The pollution. The fashion, the wisdom, the spirit, all of these things are characterized of that system that Satan have introduced for man to display his fleshly activity and his sin. Keep that in mind. I want you to keep that in mind, please. As the other brothers will start talking to you about what you see around you, realize where is that coming from? And don't be scared now, because now you know what's going on around you at school. People say, well, things are getting awful. Yeah, it's the world. I mean, what are you surprised when you see a dog parking? A dog got to park. I mean, I'll be surprised if a dog start talking. But the nature of a dog is to park. So the world system, that's what it is. Corruption, fashion, violent, defilement in James. The spot, you know, keep yourself unspotted from the world in James. You know, the world have desire to defile you. It's a filthy thing. That is really the world that we are living in. Now, how is that, when that world start? I have 2 minutes. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. And then I'm going to speak very briefly how to escape that world. And we'll give room during the question and answer to answer some of the questions. But Genesis chapter 4, one of my favorite chapters, because I think that's when the world began. And I'm going to read. But doesn't mean that you fall asleep. You are following me, right? You have your Bible with you. You are in Genesis chapter 4. And I'm going to read from verse 16. Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and he dwelled in the land of Nod at the east of Eden. Man left the presence of the Lord. Verse 17, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enosh, and he built a city, and he called the name of the city after his son named Enosh. And unto Enosh was born Ered, and Ered begot Mahalalel, and Mahalalel begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech, and Lamech took unto him two wives, and the name of one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such that dwell in tent, and of such who have cattle. The beginning of the agriculture revolution. and his brother named Jubal, and he was the father of such that handled the harp and the organ. The beginning of the entertainment revolution. And Zela also bare Tubal Cain, who an instructor of every artificer in brass and in iron. The beginning of the industrial revolution. The beginning of civilization. Civilization, these were civilized people. They were people who know how to handle, breed cattle. They know how to till the lands. That's what Cain was famous for. They know how to handle iron and build machinery. They were people who know how to enjoy entertainment. As a matter of fact, Lamech decided to have two wives because, you know, and God said one wife, and Adam, and Satan said, no, I want to make a new system here. We'll have two wives. You know, one is good, two is better. And Solomon had 1,000. And he was a miserable man. He was looking still for one. We'll talk about that. He had two. One named Ada, one named Zella. From A to Z, right? He got them all. Or A to Z. I said that for the Canadian. From A to Z. He had Ada, and he had it all. And he had also start singing about the violent that he have done. He said, I killed a man and I wounded a man. And he was glorifying what he have done in a poem. Very familiar to what we hear today. This is the beginning of man's civilization. That's where people were civilized. They have music. They have machinery. They weren't primitive people. The world. But what is the difference here? So what's wrong with having a car? What's wrong with playing the piano? Would have been good this morning. What's wrong with all of that? I mean, now you're telling us about, okay, all of these things are coming from Satan, so what now? Are we quitting school and staying at Spruce Lake for 3 days? Or forever? That would be nice, really. So if I just go on an island, I don't like people. I go on an island where nobody's around. Nobody. And I'm by myself. Just the world and it's all, its evilness, the spirit, the wisdom, everything is gone. Would that be really being out of the world? No, because I find it very interesting in Colossians, and I have no time to read the verses, but in Colossians he said, touch not, eat not. These are the rudiment, the principle of the world. So by isolating yourself, and not touching anything or not doing anything, that is actually the principle of the world. It is not holiness. People who said, we're not going to eat meat. We're going to go sit in a monastery and just stay away from everything completely. Because this way we will be holy. We're not going to touch this. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. He said, this is the rudiment of this world. Because there are natural things that God have created in man. We got to eat. Play sports. Play music. What was missing in the city that Cain have built? He have everything. Self-sufficient society. Gated community. They have everything. You don't have to go out of there. You have everything. Put you on a cruise ship and they tell you everything. You don't have to get out. You have food. You have everything. What was missing from that city? God. He went out of the presence of God. So he said, I don't need him. I could handle everything without him. And Satan said, yes, that's where sin and self and the flesh will display itself. Keep God out. Be independent from God. Be rebellious against God. And you will be self-sufficient. And you will be self-centered. It cannot get better than that. Now they call it selfie, right? Have you seen people do that? They take selfies. They take a picture of themselves. I mean, that's crazy to me. You take a picture of yourself, really? And post it. And let everybody. We'll talk about that. So, the problem was in the city Cain that God was out. And in the world we're living today, the problem is this. It is not the education system. It is not driving a car. It is not eating food. It is not enjoying sports. That's not really the issue. The issue is this. Whatever you do, do for the glory of God. Are you? Because you went to school. What happened to that school? Ben, where did you go to school? You're still at school.
NYU Poly.
Okay. What happened to NY Poly, YU Poly, as a result of having Ben there? I'm picking on Ben. But put yourself in, and every one of us, what happened to that institution in the workplace as a result of that? Now, I'm not saying Ben is going to stand up at the gate and say, hey, you heathen, you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or you will be damned to hell. No. But does the friends, the professors, the co-workers realize that this man belonged to Christ? That the principal of this world, though he goes to school with them. Look at it this way. One example. The American diplomats in Russia. The American diplomats in Russia, they are American. They get instruction not from the Kremlin. They get their instruction from the White House. You get your instruction from heaven. Heaven is our home. Heaven is our father's land. The newspaper that you read ought to give you news about heaven. It's sad to me if the American diplomat in Russia knows more about Russia than what's going on in his own country. He's familiar with everything. He knows every hockey player in Russia. He knows every, but he doesn't know who plays hockey in America. It would be sad. But he has to drive in the street of Russia. And he has to abide with the law of the Russians. So if they drive on the right, wrong side of the road, what he's going to say, well, in America we drive on this side. No, he's going to get a ticket. You got to abide with the law of the land. He got to deal with the Russian people, with the Russian diplomat. But he's an American. His interest, main interest, to promote the interest of the White House. The American policy, that's his interest. He's not interested in the Russian policy at all. All his interest, all his goal, though he's living in that world, and he can't wait to finish his mission and go home. But he's diligently living and working. He's not in isolation. As a matter of fact, they must be the most outgoing people because they have to promote that. But if they live in there, they pay rent. They pay toll. They pay for the gas. They abide with the rules of the country, but they are foreigner and stranger. And that's what the scape of the world. You know how you did that? You did that, you do that in two ways. The first way you do it, by baptism. Peter said, save yourself from that generation. In baptism, there is a declaration made that, you know what? I am out of this world, and I'm going to have Christ as my prince. The prince of this world. The Lord Jesus spoke about him. I'm going out of this world. You did that in baptism. The children of Israel were in Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. Babylon is a type of the world. How did the children came out of Egypt? From the rule of Pharaoh. They went through the Red Sea. And they were on the other side. Pharaoh's no longer the Lord. Moses is. The Lord is. Now, you heard me saying that before. Imagine the children of Israel now no longer under the authority of Pharaoh, standing outside on the other side of the Red Sea. And Pharaoh standing there, saying, yeah, you Hebrews, get me some bricks. Imagine if some Hebrew said, oh man, let's do some bricks for him, otherwise he will beat us up. What you would say, what's wrong with them? You're no longer under him. You tell him, get a life. Go make your own bricks. You don't listen to him anymore. Because you are no longer under his authority. You have done that when you went through the water of baptism. But practically now, I'll read one more verse and I'll finish. I said I'm going to finish on time. And guess what? I never keep my word. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. And I'll finish with that. This way there will be no more many questions. Galatians chapter 6. I think it's verse 14.
Where is Galatians? There it is. After 2 Corinthians. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, I think. But God forbid, Galatians 6:14, that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You know, if I look at the Apostle Paul, I don't see a man on the cross. He said, I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. A crucified man is not looking back. A crucified man have no ambition in this world. A crucified man is not coming back. He's done. He's dead to the world. And that's what he's saying. I'm done with this world. And you know what else? And that world's done to me. You have done one step, those of you who were baptized. The second step is to be true to your baptism and to live it day in and day out, realizing that this world is a system. It has its own prophets. It has its own preachers. It has its own apostles. It has its own entertainment. It has its own wisdom. It has its own fashion. It has its own everything. It's self-sufficient, and it doesn't need God. You have said, no, I am not part of that system. I know that system is condemned. The end of it is destruction. Remember how the stone was cut without hands and knocked all of these kingdoms? The statue of Nebuchadnezzar I'm talking about. And the voice said, the kingdom of the world are gone. And the Lord Jesus. See, there is a world that you and I will be part of. It's called the world to come. And in that world to come, the prince of it is the prince of peace. And everything will take character from the Lord Jesus. Right now, everything takes character from Satan. Lying, cheating, lack of integrity. All of it takes character from Satan. He's a liar. He's a thief. Everything takes character from him. Don't be surprised. A couple of years ago, 200 years ago or so, there was a big graduation in a very prestigious university. And as the students were coming to receive their doctorate degree, there was one particular student who was head and shoulder above everyone, that the head of his department have never seen a student capable like that student. He got all of the medals and all of the honors that anyone could get, that he exceeded his professors. And as he received his degree, the dean said, William, you will have a name in the world. And that man, young man, William, looked back at him and he said, which world? That William is William Kelly. When he graduated from Trinity College in Dublin, was the highest honor. And when I heard that story, it opened my eyes. It was a long time ago. Which world? And young people, which world are you living for? May the Lord bless his word.